It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop that closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth on the other side of the closet door. Now, why is it that time? Well, because for too long, pretending sucks and living your truth is what really rocks. And today's guest is going to prove that, because you know what? This guy was born this way. Those three little words that are so much more than a Lady Gaga song is his truth. They're the truth that each and every one of us in the LGBT community pretty much say to ourselves in our heads day after day after day, until one day we just decide it's time to come clean and we let someone know, you know what, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I'm bisexual, I'm transgender, and I was simply born this way. But for today's guest, it was the one day that he found himself saying these words: by the first crunch of the Velcro, I knew I was free. During my first deep breath in years, I knew I was truly free. Standing up and looking in the mirror for the first time, not feeling disgusted, I knew I was free. I am free. And those are the words that my guest, Jaden Hanslick, posted on his Facebook page as he stood looking at himself shortly having had his top surgery done to remove his breast. He was truly one step closer to being his truest self, the man he's always been within the confines of what was once a female body up until that moment. Please welcome to the show my friend Jaden Hanslick. Hey Jaden, how you doing, man?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, good. So you've been on quite a journey for the last few years, haven't you?
Yeah.
To say the least. To say the least, exactly. So for those of you who may be new to these kind of conversations, Jaden is a transgender male. That means that he came into this world in the confines in the body of a female, but there was something else going on. Tell us a little bit about what was going on up in your head there, Jaden.
Well, when I was born, you didn't really know much about transgender at all. Let alone really gay. You didn't see anything on TV or anything. So when I was born, I knew when I was around 5 or 6 years old that something was off. We used to have a boat, and when I went down to the river with my parents, my brother would always have his shirt off and boarding shorts, and I was in a one-piece bathing suit. And I didn't understand why that was. I didn't see anything different because, quite frankly, I didn't know that that we had different parts. I thought that we were both the same. So that kind of threw me for a loop. But as time went on, I saw myself being envious of his body. I would always say, why aren't you working out? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And I was 10 years old at the time, and he was like 12. So you don't really work out at those ages.
Right.
So I was just really envious of him. I didn't understand why I couldn't look like him. But then when it hit puberty, I saw a change. I grew breasts at a very young age when I was 12 years old. And wow. That threw me from the loop. I was a 36D by the time I was 12. So that scared me. I always asked my mom, because my mom and I were very close and still are. We're even closer now. But I would always ask her if it looked right, if I was growing properly, if my my chest was growing properly, if that looked okay, if my privates down there looked okay. Uh-huh. It just didn't seem right. It looked completely off to me. But then again, I never really saw anyone else's.
Right.
So I would constantly ask her. There were numerous occasions, and she was like, dude, you're fine. You're good. You look great. So then my mom saw the discomfort and decided to take me to Victoria's Secret to get a bra because she thought, well, maybe that might be the thing. And that was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life. Since I didn't look my size, because I wore band t-shirts and very baggy clothes to hide them, she measured me over and over again. She was like, oh my God, the lady at Victoria's Secret was like, oh my gosh, you hide them so well, you're so perky, you're so this, you're so that, and I just wanted to run away. I couldn't handle it any longer.
Right.
But I was a pleaser ever since I was young and never really spoke out, and I did what I thought I had to do for my mom to make her feel better, you know? So I didn't run out, I didn't do anything, I sucked it up, and I was like, oh, I love this, it looks so great on me, it fits me so well.
And the whole time you're going, I really can't stand this, right?
Yeah, I really, yeah. It was awful, you know, I cringed, I wanted to throw up, I had racing thoughts, it was awful, you know, and I didn't understand why. I thought, well, this is what every teenage kid would dream of, for their mom to take them to a very expensive clothing store and to get what?
Yeah.
You know, they've always dreamed of, you know.
Those very expensive adult undergarments, you know, that everybody says, oh my gosh, if you were a Victoria's Secret girl, can you imagine? But for you, that wasn't what was going on inside your head whatsoever, was it?
No, not at all. I was completely mortified. But, you know, I did what I thought I had to do as a quote-unquote girl. So as time went on, I had boyfriends.
Yep.
I had multiple. And I did the same thing that I did to my brother. I would always say, why aren't you going to the gym? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you, you know, like, you have this body that can be so cool. Why are you just sitting around doing nothing? And, you know, I was a very athletic person. I was in basketball. And I did what I could to make myself look the way that I wanted to. But I thought that on girls it looked very gross if I was too muscular. So I did very little, you know. I was in basketball, so I did what I had to do there. But with the guys, I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're wasting your life. Like, and I actually forced one of the guys that I was dating into doing PE, like the gym for PE, and he did that just for me, and we were only together for like a couple months, and that actually is really sad. But
yeah, but you know, this was the manifestation of you trying to be truly who you were. You were living vicariously, it sounds like, through other people's lives at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, the beginning of high school. That was freshman year. But the beginning of my sophomore year, it kind of took its toll. Uh-huh. I stopped eating. I became really depressed. And I realized that the more that I stopped eating, the less I ate, the more my breasts would go down. So that was my motivation. I told my parents, I said, I don't care. I can be on feeding tubes and dying. I just want to be skinny. I just want to be small. And I guess that that corresponded to, I just want my breasts gone. Mm. Instead of saying, I just want to be skinny. I was already skinny. I was fit. I had nothing to lose. I was not overweight in the slightest. And I basically just wanted my breasts gone. And that was my motivation. You know, I went from a D to a B very quickly.
Wow.
So that happened. And the 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, my sophomore year, which was 2011, my mom heard sobbing from upstairs and crying, and she came upstairs and I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to kill myself. And there's nothing you can do about it. And she grabbed onto me, held me tight as I tried to push her off, because I knew exactly what I was going to do. I knew how I was going to do it. I knew exactly what I was going to say. And for the weeks following up to that, that was the only thing giving me laughter and smiles, you know?
Wow. And I want to kind of interject something here, because this is really important, because you're kind of getting into the realm of what truly does happen with many transgender individuals. There's a high suicide rate amongst transgender individuals, correct?
Yes.
It's very high. And for those of you listening, this is one of the keys to really knowing if someone is serious. You just said something, and as a coach, when I hear somebody say something like this, I know they're dead serious. If they say, I know exactly how I'm going to do it, they're serious. If you ask them the question, so how would you do it, and they don't immediately answer, they're not actually doing it. They're just using it as a threat. They're not really willing, able, and serious about following through. But you actually said you knew exactly how you were going to do it. So this was very real for you at that time.
Yes.
There was no bullshit around this.
No.
This was going to happen. It's either the breasts or me, right? That's kind of what it came down to.
Basically, yeah. At the time, I didn't know, but right, yeah, saying that, that puts it into perspective for me.
Yeah. Wow.
So that night, my parents did what they could to kind of sedate me. They gave me some medication so that I would just be knocked out. And the next day, they gave me an option, whether I go into a psych ward or I try to stick it out in here. And I told them that I need help and that I needed to go in.
Wow.
So I got my blood work done, everything that I had to do, and I was admitted into Loma Linda Psychiatric Ward in Redlands for 8 days. When I was in there, I met some, you know, at this time I was still presenting as female, so I was in the female psychiatric ward, and I met incredibly scary people at first, but they ended up just being plain incredible. You know, I'm not going to go into it, but they changed my life, and I thought, why are my problems so bad? I mean, these people are so extensive. I just don't like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How did it get this bad? You know? So,
But you know what's interesting, Jaden, as you said that, and again, I want to respect your privacy here, but you know, sometimes it's when we do hit that rock bottom that our angels appear, so to speak. And those people, it sounds like, were really your angels. Those people helped you see the beauty of who you were supposed to become. They helped you open that doorway to really being able to move forward, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, I'll share one thing. There was a girl that attempted to kill her uncle and was in a juvenile, or in juvie.
Yep.
And she was seen hanging herself.
Mm.
And that's why she went into the psychiatric ward. And,
wow.
You know, and she just kept talking about when she was brought in, all she heard were the chains because she was handcuffed, and that's all she heard. And she was like, that's how it's been my whole life. That's all I've heard. So, you know, that just shows how big their problems were. And yeah. I just didn't like myself. So I compared, and I was a big comparer, you know, and I still am. I compare myself, but I was like, how did I let things get this bad? So in a group therapy session before I left, I said, what is one thing that you guys absolutely hate? And they said, I hate being shut out. That's the worst thing to do. I hate being shut out for something that I can't control. So, with a clear mindset, after 8 days, I was released. And I just got a new camera in the mail. You know, I just got it with my money, with my first job. And I started a blog called Don't Be Shut Out. And that was based off of them. So I shared my journey. And actually, my last... It led up to me coming out as transgender, and that was the last post that I did on that because I knew that my work was done.
Wow.
That's so amazing. Yeah. So I did that, and then I was in 16 weeks outpatient program for an eating disorder since I quit eating.
Wow. So there's a whole lot of stuff. We have, you know, your sexual identity, we have eating disorders, we have potential suicide. But what's the thing that really pulled you forward? What was the thing that finally you grabbed onto and said, I can get through this?
Parents.
Your parents, yeah.
I don't even have to think about that.
Yeah.
I always say that they are my living guardian angels.
Well, absolutely.
They are the reasons why I'm still here.
Exactly. And for those of you listening, this is part one of Jaden's story, because the next week when we do the next episode of the Coming Out Lounge, we're going to be interviewing Jaden's mom, Christy, to kind of continue the story and get her perspective. So make sure you stay tuned for that, because this is going to be continuing. So let's really talk about, you know, you got through this, your parents helped pull you through. What was it like for you to actually have that real heart-to-heart conversation with mom and dad of, here's how I see myself. This is who I really am.
It was PFLAG. We started going to PFLAG when I came out as a lesbian in February. Mm-hmm. I was told by a friend that was gay that, look, this is a place to be.
Yep.
And I was having a hard time 1 week, and my mom said, you're going. You are going. We can't hold this off anymore. So we went to PFLAG, and we went every single week since.
That's awesome.
That was my safe space. So
when you found that safe space, it sounds like, you really found a family to lean into in addition to your own actual family. You found an external family to start to lean into to help guide you and help support you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in those moments, as you started to create friendships, did you start to realize that this wasn't just you, that there's other people going through it? Or was it more, okay, I've just got somewhere where I can lean into and share what I need to share?
Well, a few months later, a new kid came to the group, and he was a female to male. Mm. And I never met a transgender person before. I didn't really get it. And this was up until a couple months before I started transitioning that I had no idea what it truly meant to be transgender. Mm. So this kid, you know, in group, he kind of talked about how the body image, the dysphoria, all of this stuff that I was going through, and it clicked, and I was like, dude, I need to talk to you. And we talked, and I got his number, and he talked about the hate for his breast, how he felt like he didn't belong, that he, you know, even after he did come out as a lesbian, something really didn't feel right. And that kind of clicked, because even after I came out as a lesbian, I was still trying to take on those masculine roles. You know how they say, oh, there's a boy and a girl in the lesbian relationships? Right. I hate the stereotype, but I was more of the masculine role.
Yep.
I was always puffing at my shoulders, trying to flex, always, you know, just trying to show dominancy. Mm-hmm. And that clicked when he said, you know, I was always more of the dominant, more male person in the relationship. So I went home and I started doing research, and there wasn't much, you know.
Yep. Up
for a couple years ago, there wasn't much, you know. Mm-hmm. So just talking to him, that helped, and it came to that realization that, you know, this is so much more than just sexuality, because I honestly didn't think that there was a difference between gender and sexual identity. There was really, it's, if you're a lesbian, you're a lesbian. If you're gay, you're gay. There's no in between. And I didn't realize that you could switch, you could be the gender that you've always thought that you were in your heart, and or that you knew you were in your heart. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was possible. And I thought that, because I always saw people that were transitioning so much older.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I could see myself doing that when I'm their age. But
right.
I didn't know that it was possible now.
Right.
Until I met that guy and it opened up my eyes. I'm like, this is what I need to do. And the more I thought about it, the more I dwelled, the more I became frustrated that it wasn't happening. You know, I was like, I know what this is. I'm just scared, you know, to come out. But
sure. So for those who may be listening that aren't in this world of transgender, let's kind of talk them through this. So when we talk about gender identity, what does that mean to you, Jaden? Gender identity means what?
Well, there is the gender that you were, or the sex that you were born, that you were assigned to at birth. You
right.
know?
Which is biological
sex.
Girl,
yep. spanked on the butt, and it's
yep.
a girl, you know. And then there's a guy, and
yep.
that was based on your genitals. Gender
yep.
identity is what you identify with in your heart.
Yeah, your heart.
Sex
and
is between your legs, and gender identity is between your ears. That's
yeah.
what I like to say.
Yeah,
so.
I love that. So, you know, you and I are on the same page with that, and I want to make sure we get this really clear, because if there's parents or someone listening to this, this is where things start to get kind of crazy, because you got to get
yeah.
it. So we have biological sex. That's what's down between your legs. That's your penis, your vagina. And for some, it may be both. So there are those that are intersex, and that's a whole nother conversation. But then when we get to gender identity, it's what you feel in your heart, what you feel in your head, what's what when you look in the mirror, you don't really see the physical manifestation. You may actually see it, but what you're seeing beyond that is the real you, the female you if you're a male, the male you if you're a female, that in your head, your heart, it's all right there.
And that's basically where gender and body dysphoria come into.
Exactly. So then what starts to happen, where I think it gets people really confused, is then we start to talk about the sexual orientation piece of this. So your sexual orientation is what?
I'm attracted to women.
Right. So in essence, you are at this stage, and I'm going to say that because I want to go back and then kind of correct what I'm saying, but I'm trying to help walk people through this. At this stage, you identify as, if we take the transgender, what's happened to you physically and changed your body and everything, you truly identify as a heterosexual male attracted
yes.
to women.
Yes.
Okay. So now I'm going to kind of back up a little bit, which is really no different than what you always identified with. You just didn't realize what it was. You knew you were basically, there was something different about you that was inside yourself that was identifying as a heterosexual man, but the external piece wasn't manifesting that way. It was manifesting as a female body.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I hope our listeners really get this, because this is where people get so confused.
And really the only way that I could truly explain it is, let's say for you, for example, you look up, you look in the mirror, you have a ball, you know, like you explain exactly who you are, right?
Yep.
And you are the gender that you see. Yep. You have a penis, you have no boobs, nothing, and you have hair and you have a beard. And you look in the mirror and you truly see that. You go out into the public and they say, oh, ma'am, let me help you out with your door.
Yeah.
Ma'am, let me help you across the street. Let me help you with your groceries. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so beautiful. That really messes with your brain, because you just saw in the mirror this person that you were always meant to be. And then you walk out in public and they say, oh, you're such a beautiful girl. And it messes with you, because you're like, no, I just saw a man. I am a man. So I think that's the best way to put
the
gender and body dysphoria.
That's a really good way to put it, because I know for me, and even as a gay man, some of that shows up too. So I know for me, throughout my life until I came out, I always saw myself in the mirror as a man. I definitely identified as a man. I gender express. So gender expression, for those listening, is how you express yourself, your clothing, the way you speak, the way you talk, all those sort of things, the way you use your hands when you're speaking. There's always going to be that piece that kind of gives some indication in some way that, okay, if nothing else were being seen, people would kind of know that you're a male, female, whatever that may be. However, what was different for me was my sexual orientation wasn't the typical attracted to girls. I was definitely attracted to men. And so as we go through this interesting spectrum of what everybody is, for Jaden, it could have been biologically a female, sees in the mirror male, walks out the door, everybody says, oh, it's this beautiful little girl, but in his heart and mind, he's saying, but no, I'm a guy. I'm truly a guy within. He gender expresses in that way by the clothes he wears, and his sexual orientation could have been, notice I say could have been, that he was actually attracted to men. So he could have been a heterosexual man all along in a female body, still attracted to men, which would mean that he was actually a gay man trapped in a female's body. And this is where people really get the confusing piece, but if they can learn to set aside the sexual orientation piece in the transgender conversation, if they can set that aside first and just really understand that transgender identity is what we're talking about here, correct?
Yep.
Did pretty good for a gay guy, right?
Of course, pretty good for a gay guy.
Yeah, I did pretty good. Of course, I've done this several times. As you and I both know, we're both very much involved in PFLAG, and I speak for PFLAG all the time. So take me to that moment. You're having this conversation. Your parents are supportive. But in that moment that you're telling mom and dad this is really what's going on, what was your biggest fears? What were you most afraid of?
That's the funny thing is, when I came out as lesbian, they already knew. They pegged it. Couple years ago, they completely knew.
Yep.
And they were super accepting. So when I came out to them, it was more of the rush of, I was more worried of how I would say it, how I would do it, all of that. And it wasn't so much that I wouldn't be accepted, because, well, they accepted me as a lesbian before. How could they? They must have known that this is who I truly was, because they already knew that I was attracted to girls. So I guess my biggest fear was actually just how I was going to do it, how I was going to portray myself, and yeah, I guess in the back of my head, because I did have a lot of anxiety about it, it would be if I would be accepted or not fully, but it was mainly by my extended family that I was a little worried about, because I did have an altercation with one of them when I came out as a lesbian, attracted to women. So I was more worried about the extended family, less than my immediate family.
You know, and that it's kind of interesting. I think for most people who come out, whether they come out as gay, bisexual, trans, les, whatever it is, it's going to be very different. Sometimes it's going to be the immediate family you're more concerned about. Other times it's going to be the extended family. Other times it may even be you're more concerned about friends and things such as that. And I think each of us has our own beautiful journey to go through to figure out where our fears really truly lie. And for a lot of us, the fears really do truly lie in, it's kind of outside of our own family, unless we're in a family that's highly volatile around religion and stuff like that, where that plays a predominant role. So now I know you have an older brother, correct?
Yes.
How was that for you and him as you went through this process?
Well, before transition, we were best friends. We were the close, like, people were envious of how close we were. We acted like we were best friends, not even siblings. People thought that we were dating before because we were so close. Not that we were holding hands and all of this, but
sure,
we were just very close to one another. We would always hug before going off to class. It was always a very close relationship, and it was hard for him because in his mind, I'm very close to my sister. Am I going to be as close to someone who's my brother? So he actually left for a week after he found out because he had to clear his head. And he's a person that needs time to process, you know, in his head. And he needs some time to himself. And by that time, when he came back, I had cut my hair. And I started to really try to present as masculine. So in that week that he was gone, a lot already changed. So he had more to process. And his biggest fear was that we weren't going to be as close as we once were. And, you know, when I came out as liking girls, it was like, oh, cool, we have something to relate. You know, we can look at girls and it's going to be cool, you know. And when I came out as transgender, that I was actually his brother, it was more of, well, am I going to love this kid as much? You know, am I going to be as close to him? Am I going to, I mean, is he going to be the same person? Is he going to be this? I mean, he's going to be completely changed.
Sure.
Is he going to change his personality, you know, and I think what many people don't understand is that you're still the same person at heart. You don't change your heart. You're the same person. You change your exterior, but you don't change your heart. You know, I'm still the same person. I still have the same mentality. Yeah, I have my voice a little deeper sometimes, and I walk a little different, but, you know, the heart's still the same, so I think that was what was really hard for him, was he just didn't know what was going to happen.
And to this point that you just made about still the same, it's very fascinating to me to have those kind of conversations with people, because we hide this piece of ourselves. Whether it's we're gay, we're lesbian, we're transgender, we're bisexual, whether we're, you know, somebody who shouldn't be in a relationship we're in, whether we're hating our job, there's pieces of ourselves that we hide. But in reality, the truth of who we are is always been there. It's just when these bigger steps happen, when you come out of the closet and say, I'm a gay man, or you come out and say, I'm a lesbian, well, actually, mom and dad, I'm actually transgender, the bigger conversation becomes the truth of who you've always been. And the only thing that really shifts is, instead of hiding that piece of ourselves, we're now opening up and sharing that piece of ourselves in a much broader way. And what happens in that moment, and I'm sure you've had this happen for you numerous times, is you're just letting your real self out. That's it. That's all there is to it. So, first of all, Jaden, I want to just say, you know what? I'm so glad we had this conversation today, because you're the very first transgender person I've had on the Coming Out Lounge. So you're breaking frontiers here. And
it makes me
feel really honored. Actually, I take that back. You are the second. You're the youngest one, though. I actually interviewed a guy 2 years ago. But you are the youngest one who's shared your story in such a beautiful way. And at the end of each show, I ask a couple of questions that I think are always really helpful to those who are listening. So first question is, where you're at in this journey, because this journey will, you know, like all of our lives, this journey will never end until it ends, you know, that day that you take that last breath. What are you most grateful for right now in this journey?
The fact that I was given a life to live.
Wow.
I didn't see myself as having a life to live for a while. I saw myself as a waste of space. I had no reason to live, and if it weren't for, I could say my whole family, but really it was my mom and my dad and my brother that showed me that I do have a reason to live. I'll never forget when my brother visited me for the first time in the psych ward, and I ran out as fast as I could and just hugged him. And I jumped on him, and people were trying to pry me off because it's not acceptable in there. And that was really my first, like, in our first, we just started crying because I realized that my parents were taking two trips back and forth just to see me on every chance that they can. My brother took time to do this, and it's like, they are my reason, they're my hope, and they're my cure, you know. Mm-hmm. And
that's I'm just, I love that you just said they were my cure. I mean, you were your own cure in so many ways by finally saying, I'm going to swallow the pill of truth and honesty and integrity and finally come to this point to share, but then to also honor and recognize that that family was the other piece of the prescription to making this really, really work.
I mean, it's like
a whole different story.
Yeah, and it was really like a dysfunctional puzzle, you know?
Uh-huh.
You're putting life's pieces together, and it's that one piece that you've been trying to find. It's the last end piece. My mom loves doing her edges first,
mm-hmm.
and with her puzzles, and it was just like, you're trying to find that last end piece, and you finally find it, and you put it together, and the frame is complete, and then sure. all you have to do is fill in the rest, and they were like my last little end piece, and... Wow. That's the rest awesome. Just comes together so much easier when you have the border done, and that's they were my little end piece. So
I love it. They were my little end piece. Love it, love it, love it. So I typically would ask one last question, but I have a couple ones. I think because this is just such a great conversation, I want to throw a couple more at you. What's your hope for the future of the transgender movement? What would you like to see really happen?
It's a loaded question.
No, that's why I ask it. That's why I'm the interviewer and you're the one being interviewed, because I think I want to hear these sort of things from people like you, because you're the frontier, man. You're the ones helping make this really come to life. So, you know, if you could say tomorrow, I'd love to wake up and see X be happening for transgenders, what would it be?
I'd love to see a day where it becomes normal, where the first thing that people do are saying, what's your preferred gender pronoun?
Wow.
Instead of guessing, instead of even putting a gender pronoun or a label on it, just saying, hi, my friend.
You know, it was really interesting. I interviewed Ash Beckham, who did a TED Talk called Everybody's Got Closets. I interviewed her just a couple of days ago for a podcast. And it was interesting that she said the first time somebody asked me what my preferred pronoun was, it really pissed me off. And I thought, you know, that's really interesting, because that's exactly how I felt the first time somebody said that to me. And so we had this really beautiful conversation, because we're older. We're in our 50s, and, you know, we've been around this wheel a little bit longer. But when I realized it, and before Ash even said it, I had thought the same thing. And then she said exactly what I was thinking. She goes, but then I realized how wonderful it was that somebody took the time to ask me how I'd like to be addressed. Instead of just making the assumption that, okay, I'm this, you know, flannel-wearing, you know, butch dyke with, you know, 15 cats at home and a U-Haul trailer sitting outside, you know, they really wanted to know, how do you want to be referred to? So I love that you brought that up. So here's another question, and then we'll do the very final question I always ask. Any regrets?
Not one. If I live my life with regrets, then what's the point? I mean, I could have a bunch of regrets. Oh, I regret doing this, regret doing that. You know what? Plain and simple, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Okay, so if I was Oprah right now, I would say, there's our tweetable. If I live my life with regrets, what's the point? That would be like the big tweetable out of this whole thing. So, literally, I do. You just made me feel like Oprah right there. My big black diva just came out going, hooray, I got that Oprah question. So there we go. So the very last question I have for you, man, which is always the way I end every one of these interviews, is, you know, you've been through a lot. You're continuing to go through lots of different changes. But for somebody who's just struggling, whether they're struggling to come out as lesbian or gay, in your case, transgender, what would be the one piece of advice you would love to give someone that could be the biggest gift that could come from this conversation today?
Be true to who you are. And if you stay strong, you know, staying strong, that's really loaded as well. People think in order to stay strong, you can't have any breakdowns or meltdowns, and that's not the case. Staying strong is waking up every day and facing the day head on instead of hiding. And with each day that you do that, you become just a tad bit stronger. So staying strong means getting through the day and, you know, living. And if that's one piece, I mean, you can cry, you can do whatever you have to do, but if you live for that day and you don't hide behind the past and you look forward to the future, no matter how bad your life is, that's what I mean by stay strong. And awesome. If I can say that to anyone, I'd say stay strong and to have that definition behind me, because that's what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, what a better way to end this conversation today than with those words, stay strong. And if you've really enjoyed what you've heard today, I'd love to have you walk on over to iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud and give us some love, a rating and review. Talk about how much you enjoyed having this conversation with me and Jaden. And Jaden, I want to say thank you so much for taking that time out of your day to share of yourself. You're just a really awesome young man, and I'm so glad to say he's one of the guys I know in this world. So I really appreciate you being here, man.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And if you really like what you're hearing on the Coming Out Lounge, hop on over to the Coming Out Coach on Facebook and become part of our family. And of course, if you're one of those people who loves that Twitter app and you really just can't get enough of tweeting those 140 characters, give us some love at Rick Clemens and use the hashtag the Coming Out Lounge. And with that, I don't know that I have much more to say other than what I usually say at the end of every episode. I want to challenge you to go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth on the other side of the closet door. Until next time, take care, be well, and be blessed. And we'll catch you in a week or so on the Coming Out Lounge.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.